Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this very moment, you're traveling over thousands of miles of air, land, and sea. It's time for the gathering of poets from around the world. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm here with JT, who's holding everything down on the tech end, and a co-host. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. You?
I'm doing well, especially since I'm not freezing parts of my anatomy off outside.
That's true.
Like I was last week.
Yes.
Because that
was cold.
That was dumb. Dumb cold. Although I have to say, isn't there like an ice storm hitting part of the country right now?
Yeah.
So we should probably shut up. And
well, it's going to be rough. They actually delayed the Steeler game on Sunday to a night.
Those guys are so wimpy.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's because of that, but, you know.
I'm totally kidding.
Yeah, I mean. There's an ice storm hitting parts of Kansas and Missouri.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Should be.
It'll be soon. I mean, I think the thing is right now it's actually fairly balmy outside. It's not too bad. I wasn't even wearing a coat, you know. But, you know, I don't like it when it's really cold. Personally, for me, I hate the cold. You like the cold.
I love the cold, yeah.
You love the cold. You hate the French Revolution.
Right.
I like the French Revolution, but I hate the cold.
Huh.
However, I don't like summers after it hasn't been cold and it hasn't snowed.
Oh.
You know what I mean? That.
Okay.
You know. So, at any rate.
Okay.
I'm sure people wanted to hear that. Anyway, so this is the second episode of World Poetry Open Mic 2017. We might call this Episode Do. So
all right,
yeah. So I mean, we're gonna have some great poetry tonight. We're gonna have, you know, callers. Hopefully, some people we've, you know, grown to really know and you know, have become part of our community and people we've become close friends with and had meals with and everything.
Yes.
But also hopefully we'll have some new people too. It's always exciting to have that. I'm interested to see what's in store. So, JT, let me ask you.
Yes, sir.
What is? And I've been asking a lot of people this. What do you think is the coolest gift you gave somebody for Christmas?
Wow, that's tough.
I started doing that for kids this week in class because everybody's talking about what they got.
Right.
Which, you know, I get it. You're kids. That's just what you do.
Yeah.
But I figured I wanted to get them to think, and you'd be surprised how many kids had absolutely no idea what they gave anybody.
You know, I gave my daughter a... we gave our daughter a crock pot cookbook.
Mm.
And it just coincided with her getting a crock pot the previous night.
How does that even happen?
We didn't even plan that.
Oh, plan that at all?
Did not plan it. It was somebody else who gave her a crock pot. And we just happened to have this cookbook for her.
That's random.
Yeah.
That's
it was
great.
Just like she's been wanting one. So here's the...
That's lovely.
Yeah, it was weird.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right, so let's just do this. Can we just get past our NPR-esque banter here?
Sure.
All right, so we're going to do two rules here. First of all, no hate speech. We don't do that. There's enough of that kind of crap in the world. We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Rule number two, no word porn. So we understand there's artistic license. There's things there. We don't want to censor it. However, we try to skew for PG-13 kind of shows because there are kids that listen in. But we just ask that you don't be gratuitous. Use it tastefully if you have to at all. All right. That's it. So, first segment, we need five unique callers. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number, again, is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back after a great call and session segment here. I get to hear JT kind of run through all the calls here. It's really entertaining. But I got to say, man, I haven't heard that U2 song in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Some of these lines are great, though. The lyrics of the song, actually, I love.
Yeah.
These lines. There's a part of me in chaos that's quiet. And there's a part of you that wants me to riot. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to cry or needs to spit. Every sweet tooth needs just a little hit. And this next part's so true. Every beauty needs to go out with an idiot. How can you stand next to the truth and not see it? And
that's
then if
cool.
We go,
yeah.
And then there's one more, and I'm trying to find where it is. I don't know. I'll find it some other time. But there's just so many great little moments in these songs. And the right to be ridiculous is something I hold dear. I feel like that speaks to me at a really deep intrinsic level. I think without my right to be ridiculous that I claim for myself, I think I would have been in prison a long time ago. All right, speaking of prison. Well, actually, not speaking of prison.
No, because it's going to sound really weird if you do.
That was not a good segue. All right, let's do this. We're going to go to submission first. This is from our friend Nadwan.
Okay.
And I don't think I can pronounce this. Actually, he gave us a translation of the title. It turns into Monasticism of Love. And here we go. For this is Nadwan, Monasticism of Love. Don't be sad. This is the end of your neglect as you finally drink from the same cup. So spare thy tears as they have no more effect on a man who was reborn after he gave you up. As he found a new pace with that angelic face after he has closed your case and found somebody to believe in and embrace, to be redeemed with her charm and grace, to shed a wound that was sore and find a cause to live for in the crypts of that monastery where he would pray for some clemency as you would be always his deity. And that was written on the 1st of January 2017 at 12:28 a.m. This is Nadwan from his second Divan, Bella Daily Faculty. Nadwan, thank you so much as always for contributing from around the world there in Iraq. I hope that he'll be a part of our kind of large, as still secret, project some people know about. Even at least one person listening to this show at the moment knows about it. We'll announce that later, though. In the meantime, let's head over to New York to Lorraine Thug Life, a friend of ours and a great leadoff poet. Hello, Lorraine. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is something I thought of called the Kingdom of Man. Does the sun truly set or the moon actually rise? Or is that just a trick they play on our eyes? Does the same low tide become high tide? And somewhere at sea, do they both collide? Do people kill people because they are mad? And what they believe at birth, they should have. Do wars have winners? Or do we all lose? Is the damage that's caused what we refuse to acknowledge, to see, to understand? Or will animals regain the kingdom of man? And
very, very nice, Lorraine. Thank you very much. How are you?
You're well. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm a little cool. It's a little cool up here, but I'm thinking of Colorado, and I'm all right.
You're thinking of Colorado, huh?
I'm thinking about Colorado.
When you think of Colorado, what do you think about? Do you think about our majestic peaks?
I think about snow and mountains.
Oh, okay. We do have
Beautiful
hosts. Yes, I know.
Symmetry. Beautiful hosts.
Beautiful
yes.
hosts with the most.
Beautiful hosts. Yes. Yeah. And great symmetry. And I'm fine. I'm fine.
Great symmetry. That is the best thing. I'm thinking about Colorado and the symmetry.
Then I'm okay.
Why is there not a tree called the symmetry? Because that would be amazing.
Because it would only be part.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Sorry.
That would
be
great. I want Michael to write something. I was thinking of a tune about losing someone, and I would love him to write something about that.
About losing someone in...
About losing someone, just losing someone.
Oh, I have those, Lorraine.
I have too.
I have those songs. I'll figure out how to get it to you, okay?
Please. Please do.
Yeah, I definitely... Yes. I have lost, just like I know many of us have, and I have written about it, so I do have those.
Have you?
Oh, and I'll continue to have more.
Oh, God. I would love to hear them. I would love to see them, yes.
Well, I mean, I think hearing the music's probably better. I only perform when I'm wearing a spandex suit, so that probably would...
You perform?
Yeah, well, you know...
JT, you perform?
Well, JT always performs. He's a high performer. But I'm talking about me. Lorraine, I'm the ham in the room right now. I got to be honest with you.
I love it. I love it. I mean, you are the crux of the whole show.
Well, we're both are. Yeah,
and you pull it together, and I just love the way you do it, and for you to also perform. Oh my God, that's...
Well,
incredible.
I sang to 600 people this afternoon, so there you go.
Do you sing?
Michael does, absolutely.
No, I don't sing, I caterwaul. I attempt, Lorraine.
Yes, Michael does the singing.
Michael sings,
I can carry a tune.
You are my sunshine. My only sunshine. I love it. I mean, I'd love to hear it.
All right. Well, I'll sing sometime, but here's the problem. You got to listen to the show, Lorraine. I've been doing a thing called Studio X for years.
Stupid email shit crap. I'm sorry. It doesn't come through, and I really want to hear you guys. I used to hear you, like after the show, And now I can't hear you after the show. So
okay.
I really miss it.
I'll see if I can get, I have a copy of an album I gave out a couple of years ago. It has some stuff and some new things. I'll see if I can send some things over to you, okay?
I'll give you my address.
Don't do it on the air. JT got the stuff.
No, I won't.
We're
going to
go from there. Okay. All right, Lorraine.
I won't give it on the air.
We're going to get moving, okay?
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
And great to talk to you. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you,
Sounds
Lorraine.
Great.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Right.
Bye. And that was Lorraine in New York. You know that the song she sang, You Are My Sunshine.
Uh-huh.
Strangely enough, that is the song that I remember being sung. And I've talked to my parents about the time that happened, and I think we've pegged it right around a year
wow.
and a few months. I was sitting in it. I was being given a bath in a sink in a cabin by, I think like my father and a few people. My mother was very sick with a tick. In her head.
Ooh.
People were trying to take care of her, you know, in the other room. And someone was singing that song. And I remember that's my first memory I can go back to, but it's right around that time.
Yeah, my mom used to sing that to me all the time.
Really? Yes,
yeah.
Yes. It's the same sort of thing. Same sort
that
of thing.
And the other one, the John Denver's Sunshine on My Shoulder.
Oh, yeah. John Denver.
Yeah.
When you know that John Denver was managed by the guy who produced the Ocean's 11 movies, it really kind of changes things. All right.
Wow, I will never look at it the same
way.
It's
the truth. All right. It's the truth. All right, let's head over to Michigan, though. Let's check in with one of our greatest friends here. We have Dennis calling all the way from the Mitten State. Dennis, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's Friday night.
That's right. Here we are again, just like clockwork.
Show number 2 for 17.
That's it.
Yay.
I know. We're
on
keep going.
Our way.
Just keep going. That's it. You know, that's the thing we realize is you start the show. Now we tell people we've been on the air about this long. We start hearing people go, whoa, that's a long time. But we all know, including you, it's just getting things together on Friday night. You jump on, you do one foot in front of the other, and then you do next week, right?
Yep, and it just keeps getting better and better.
Well, we hope so anyway. We work on it. So how's your week been, sir?
And it shows. Oh, my week's going good.
All right.
Real good.
That's great to
no
hear.
No complaints here.
Wonderful. Well, now, Dennis, I'm also going to let you know this week I'm going to send you a message about this kind of secret project we have going on. I'd love to get your input and your thoughts on it, okay?
Okay. Will it be in code?
It won't be in code, but I very likely will be wearing a ninja outfit when I write
too.
The email. Yeah.
You'll need your lemon juice.
Yes,
and,
yes. That's it. I will say
heat.
Something. Yes.
I will be looking for it, my friend.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Secret decoder rings. We got to go.
Is the flamenco eating the sandwich? Okay. All right. Dennis, what do you have for us this week?
Well, okay. Well, last week you announced the form of the month is the Tyrolet. And that's the way we say it in Michigan because we have the Chevrolet.
Perfect. I love that.
So other people may pronounce it differently, but I pronounce it Tyrolet. All right. So... I got one that I didn't write this week, but I dug it out. And well, what's the one number one thing we think of this time of year?
Wow, I don't have it in my head. I know it's New Year's,
uh-huh.
And it comes into Valentine's because they just. Instantly change over the stores.
Well, I've been spending a lot of time, Dennis, maybe this is, I don't know if this is the right answer, but I spent a lot of time this week and I've really actually been thinking about, believe it or not, Martin Luther King Jr., thinking a lot about the civil rights movement because I've been talking to a lot of kids who had no idea what it was. And,
it's very important to understand the man and who he was and what he did. And those are both good answers. But what gets me through the winters is the thought of spring.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I share with you my spring Tyrolet.
All right.
And it reads like this. sweet days of spring are finally here. The flowers bloom as robins sing. The colors and the sounds bring cheer. Sweet days of spring are finally here. As man and nature now draw near, what joy these days of rebirth bring. Sweet days of spring are finally here. The flowers bloom as robins sing. End of poem.
Very, very nice, Dennis, and a great read. I you know, it's funny, when you started, we're listening, and JT goes, we were way off. We should have known. No, I mean, you know, but that was very nice.
You could have answered anything. It was just a subjective question that you threw out there just to open the door for my poem. So all answers were acceptable.
I'm sorry we weren't more flowing. I you know, I was sitting there, one of my answers would have been surviving. That's
exactly. And that's what I do to survive. I think of spring.
There you
and
go.
It helps me get through.
You know what? I actually, there's been a few winters. I remember specifically the winter of 2017 and 2014. The moment spring started hitting, I really needed it.
Which years?
2013 into 2014.
13 into 14.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I misheard you.
And but when spring finally came, I remember actually just being really, really happy about it because I was walking outside a lot to the aquarium,
right.
And back,
yeah.
in the winter at night. And so it was very nice when everything changed.
Well, thank you, Dennis.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I see we have a lot of great poets in the chat room, and I'm sure there's many more that are listening. I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up in the mic, but as I do, I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Thank you so much. And that was Dennis all the way from the Michigan State. Apparently, didn't miss here, by the way, JT. Steve has caught us.
Okay.
And I completely go with what Steve said. Apparently, I said 2013 and 2017.
14 and 17.
14, 17.
Now he's going to correct you again. Look
at
this.
I don't know. I don't. You know what? Fine. I said something wrong.
It's okay.
I admit it.
Hey, as long as you can admit it, that's you know, the major steps.
As long as I don't have to put some pants on, I'm good.
You're fine. Just be comfortable. Okay?
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm all stretched out.
Good.
All right. Let's head all the way over to the picturesque and beautiful state of Pennsylvania to visit Jim, the Salad Master. Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah? How's the week been?
Warm, actually.
Warm? Would you get a new coat or something? What's up?
No, it's actually warmed up the last few days. It's like 50 and 60.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, we got a warm before the storm. So,
the
past couple of days, we've been about 50s.
Are we supposed to be getting hit pretty hard, JT?
Yeah, Sunday into Monday.
Oh, well, that's okay, though, because
you.
Oh, you still have to head into work?
Still have to go to work.
Oh, man. Can't you go in there and start yelling about civil rights?
I could, but it's not going to do me any
good. No, it wouldn't do you any good anyway, but I think you could cause enough of a thing where they would have to, like, the PR department gets worried.
Yeah, no, that'd be really weird in a financial company.
anyway. All right. Well, Jim, I'm glad it's warm over there. Are you what did you spend your time on this week?
Trying to get started on a chapbook I want to do.
Oh, cool. Good. Don't you know what, honestly though, I will say this word of advice. I would ask you about it, but I think when I talk about books I'm writing, they never happen. So I've kind of been learning recently, and this advice comes from a lot of people, including Hemingway, shut up about your book and write the damn thing first.
Well, I'm actually getting some of the poems typed up for it.
Awesome.
Wonderful, man.
Good.
Wonderful.
Good deal.
Look for it. Let us know when it's done.
Yeah.
Let us know where we can find people, or if you need any, if you need a hand, you know, publishing it, if you have any questions, we can help out.
All right.
So what do you have for us this week, though, speaking of the here and now?
Well, it's not one of mine, but you guys may or may not know that this person writes poetry.
Really?
Yeah.
This person?
Viggo Mortensen.
I do. And you know, strangely enough, he actually owned a poetry publishing company for a while.
It wasn't Pegasus, was it?
I think it was Pegasus. That was his.
I think it was Peregrine.
Oh, Peregrine. It's Peregrine.
Yeah. Pegasus is a little bit different.
I actually got to borrow one of his books
from
another library, Poetry and Photography.
Yeah.
And it was from when he was filming Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Because I got to see Orlando Bloom with his mohawk.
Which would be a great name if Orlando Bloom ever did a music project. I think that could just be the title. Orlando Bloom and his mohawk. And the backing band could be And His Mohawk. Or His Mohawk. See? Go. See?
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah. All right, so is there one from Viggo that is especially riveting to you?
Well, there's two of them. One is called Weekends, which I've heard him actually have a recording of him doing it. And another one is called is Untitled.
Okay.
So I'll do that one.
Okay. Sounds good.
Wooed her like a dolphin, treats her like tuna. She blackens, tries experiencing nothing. He looks for her without touching, making pinpricks in her furtive nakedness like a hyena. Flooded plains may remind her of startled fish, sunken palaces lit by moons and moons. He does not know what she's thinking, doesn't know what's worse, believing she's come straight from heaven or nowhere at all. She is willing to continue feeding him himself, calls it living on her own terms, safe in houses they promise to build each other with views on every side and enough curtain to sleep through it all. End of poem.
That is really nice. I hadn't listened to listened to or read any of his work, and that's very nice. And good read too.
Yeah, that was actually in a volume I got a while back, The Spoken Word Revolution.
Okay.
It's a slam hip hop and the poetry of a new generation, and it has a CD that comes with it of different artists reading their work. Saul Williams, Reggie Gibson, Billy Collins, Viggo, and a few others.
Very cool. Very cool.
Todd Alcott does what? There's a recording of his poem, Television.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which is interesting. I kind of like that one. I actually tried doing a YouTube video for that one.
How'd it go?
Well done.
You said you tried. How did it go?
Well, I tried doing it similar to the way they did it, but I did all the audio and just a slightly different visual for it, because he had like different images flashing up on the screen for his.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I did it all on my own, and it was like the TV itself was talking to me.
Okay.
And it's the very end. It's like I go and I shut the TV off.
I see. Okay. Very interesting. Well, hey, I want to say thank you, James. This was awesome. Do you have another one you're going to read for us in the return engagement?
I'm thinking about it.
All right.
I'm not sure which one. I have one that I might. It's called Caligula's Love Child.
Yeah, this is right. That's Philip's speed all over the place. He's here. Philip's going to be all about that one. Anytime you mention Caligula, and then you got the little minnows and the thing with the Rome and the lead poisoning, and then it leads it. You know how it goes.
All I'm going to say about that one is was inspired by a garbage pail sticker.
All right,
as all great poems are. All right, Jim. Hey, we'll talk to you during the return engagement. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. And that was Jim calling away from Pennsylvania, throwing down a Viggo Mortensen poem. By the way, looking in the chat room while people were talking, Titus, you mentioned Lord of the Dance. I think that was hilarious. I think I might have mentioned that a few episodes ago.
Yeah, a little while
Michael
ago,
Flatley,
yeah.
His biography, Lord of the Dance, is actually a tremendous, tremendous and tremendously powerful book, and it's really made a difference for me in some strange parts of my life. Strangely, I go back to that book when I'm in dark kind of places. And I just mentioned it on this other podcast I've been doing recently, but really fascinating story. The guy's like a 13-time or something Irish dance champion, and then world champion, and then he's like a 2 or 3-time Irish flute world champion, and then he's like a 2 or 3-time Golden Glove, welterweight champion. I mean, wow. The guy knows how to compete on a high level.
Yeah.
And fascinating guy. All right. Let's go to someone we haven't heard from in a while that I'm very, very happy to hear and see her calling. So we always love hearing her voice. Let's go to Cynthia in Vancouver. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good. Happy I can be on Skype.
I know. It sounds really nice, actually. How's everything been going for you? We haven't heard from you in a few weeks.
It's been wonderful. I've been snowed in, but it's been really fun.
Well, that's...
I got snowed in.
How badly?
Well, other parts of the country laugh at us when we complain, right?
Oh, yeah.
Vancouver. Yeah, fair enough. We just don't clear the ice off the road. We wait for it to melt.
Well, that's kind of nice, actually.
It was wonderful, actually. Yeah, I got snowed in at a New Year's party with musicians, so we just had this awesome, couple days of music and food and life being great.
Oh, that sounds fantastic, except I know musicians. I don't know. Were they actually still – did you guys get to the place where you were having a good time, but then about right towards the end you're like, we're all kind of forcing these smiles a little too much. You got to get out of here.
There's a little bit of all that, right?
Of course.
The next morning.
Well,
but it's really nice to have snow here.
Oh, and we're – we had a decent amount of snow last week. Well, it wasn't a lot, but it was cold, and it was really – just a dry, cold snow.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. It packed down real quick, and then a Chinook wind came across and melted it right off the streets in like a day.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. So that's what happens here in Denver. So we don't get to hang out with get stuck in places with a bunch of musicians, except I do. That's what happens to me all the time. But, it's okay. So what do you have for us, Cynthia?
So I want to do a cover. It's by my friend Roger Lee, who is one of the musicians I was hanging out with. And I actually met him ages ago in Toronto. I was doing a video on music and social change, and I interviewed him. So I read everything he'd ever written. This is one of my very favorite poems in the world. He actually had to go and dig it up from his old computer from 10 years ago so I could read it tonight. It's called This One I Am by Roger Lee. I come back and back to how I don't know this one I am. Now with you, nowhere in the world before this love. I come back and back to breathing the moments of a life. Now with new flowing, stirring, glowing, and exploding hearts in tiny supernovas. What did I know before now? Nowhere in this world were you to be found. I'd long drowned. I come back and back to the frozen silent heaven that I am when your skin follows mine down head to toe and I crack open wide and cry and I start to say what you suddenly whisper one breath ahead. New world, new element, new calamity of sorrow in this inflamed sky of you and I. Greater than faith and hope and truth. Greater than any idea of love that I let go of. Fragment by fragment, as who I was now dissolves into what we are. I come back and back to how I don't know this one I am. Now with you, nowhere in the world before this love. End poem.
Wow. That is a cool piece.
So that's by Roger Lee. And what I'm amazed about with him, I used to go see him play music back in Toronto, but he's got all these other talents. Like he's also a painter,
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. painter, musician, poet, writer. And so I just love how everything comes together in his work. But that's my favorite contemporary poem in the world.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful piece. You know, what you're just mentioning kind of reminds me of listening to an interview with Robert Rodriguez, the film director who's made, Desperado and Spy Kids and all of those movies, Sin City, all of that. And one of the things that I guess he does is that he surrounds himself with masters. So he's making films, but he goes and seeks out painting masters and sculptors and musicians, and he does everything himself. So he films the movie, edits it, does special effects, writes the script, does the music, all of that. And he basically has this theory that creativity is what you learn. Creativity is what you have. The medium doesn't really matter. You just bring your creativity to whatever you're doing, and it seems to work. And you can actually transcend the skill level that you might have by just pulling your creativity into it. And it sounds very much like that's what your friend does. And I know that, I know several people like that. I try to be that way. We'll see. Time will tell.
I feel it too. I got invited to contribute some words to visual art. So that's why I was laughing, because I'm not a visual artist necessarily, but hopefully I will transcend that. Yes. The words I put in will work well with the piece of art. That's anyway, thank you for having me.
Of course, Cynthia. Thank you as always for calling, and we hope to hear from you in the return engagement. If you can stick around that long, we'll see. We don't know what the night holds for us.
Yeah, I'll be here.
All right, wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon, Cynthia. Thank you. That was Cynthia all the way from Vancouver. Good work.
Yeah.
That was a solid night so far. Got a lot of cover poems, too. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I guess 2 out of 4. So 50% cover poems right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. All right.
Because it's just got to be that weird-esque kind of thing.
The weird-esque.
I don't know.
Could I make that a T-shirt?
Sure, the weird-esque kind of thing.
Weird-esque kind of thing, quote JT.
I got some good ones
out
there.
You got a good one, man. I like that one. All right. So let's head all the way to...
Oh, no.
All the way to New York. The voice of pure evil, a.k.a. reason.
There we go.
It is Steve from New York.
I noticed that you say weird-ass.
I
and
know.
Then put me on.
It's weird-esque, to be
weird-esque.
Fair.
Weird-esque, yeah.
Well, I'm a New Yorker. Yeah. I heard weird-ass.
It's really the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
And if I may wish a good evening to Tamara in the Bronx, who is listening and hopes to call in next week for her first time.
Wonderful. Good.
That'd be great, yeah.
Well, so, figure if we can try to spread the word and have as many people as possible, it's what we should do.
That's exactly what we'd love nothing more to do. That sentence didn't come out correctly. Anyway, Steve, how's this week been for you? I see little posts from you on Facebook from time to time, and I know you're out there always slugging away and doing battle in New York. How'd
well,
it go?
This has been a week of eating the bear.
Okay.
And next week, I already know, is going to be a week of the bear eating me.
Oh, no.
Starting a trial on Wednesday where the defendant is Trump Plaza.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have billions of dollars and hundreds of attorneys, and my client has me.
Well, you know what?
Go get him, Steve.
Yeah, that's exactly go what get him. I don't care what anybody says. Kick their ass, Steve.
Oh, that's sorry. Awesome. I couldn't help myself. Just go get him.
Well, our thoughts and prayers are with you, Steve, and we're sure you'll kill it. So yeah. You'll do a great job.
Not sure if we want to say kill it, considering the name of the defendant.
No, that's not.
I am not getting in trouble with the feds.
That's right. We're not getting in trouble.
No. Yes, not. No. No, not at all. All right.
Although I will even be nice, because earlier there was a discussion about thinking of Colorado and what one thinks of when they think of Colorado. And with all due respect to your home,
yes,
all I think of Colorado is Montana's little bitch.
Ooh! You know, Montana is pretty damn beautiful, I will say.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Mm-hmm. But as this is a poetry show, usually I have no idea where my weirdness comes from, but in this case, I know exactly where, what influenced or what created this poem. There was a documentary I'd seen recently on HBO, which I recommend to everyone. It's about a photographer named Tony Vaccaro, who had a 60-year career as a commercial and artistic photographer. But he got his start as a combat infantryman who carried a camera with him from D+6 when he landed in Normandy all the way across Europe.
Wow.
And they showed a number of his World War II photographs, one of which was called White Death, Requiem for a Dead Soldier. And as soon as I saw that photograph, I knew that it called for a poem.
Wow.
So with that, by way of introduction, based upon a photograph by Tony Vaccaro, White Death, Requiem for a Dead Soldier. Framed upon the gallery wall, beneath the harsh lights of hipster Brooklyn, a photograph now 70 years old, a reminder of the world of Brill Cream, Luckies, and Swing, the last mad winter of a world bathed in darkness. A study in black and white, actually more than 50 shades of graveyard gray, the lighter gray once olive drab, the darker gray once scarlet. The universal soldier lying dead in the snow, rifle thrown aside but still burdened by his pack, lying prostrate before the majestic mystery, peaceful as if in reverie, in silent contemplation of what he has just seen. In smaller type beside the photograph, January 11, 1945, Utrecht, Belgium, Private Henry Irving Tannenbaum, another Christmas tree torn asunder after the epiphany. End of poem.
That's incredibly powerful.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. And I actually, while you were reading it, I was inspired. I jumped onto to HBO and looked up the Tony Vaccaro piece. And I'll definitely check it out this weekend. That sounds
it's an amazing
picture.
Story, and I heartily recommend it to everyone.
Wonderful. I'll definitely watch it this weekend. And that poem was just very powerful on its own, and I can only imagine that mixed with now seeing the picture will really bring it to life even more. Well, thank you, Steve.
When you see the documentary, you'll learn another interesting twist on that photograph.
Really?
Which will, yeah.
Wow.
We can speak about that at some other time.
Okay.
Before I cough up a lung.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Always appreciate
you. Thank you again for everything you do, and I'll keep listening.
Sounds great.
Bye.
Thank you, sir. And that was Steve all the way from New York. All right. I'm just going to clear up something that came up in the chat room.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Snakes don't all die during the winter. If they all died during the winter, the species would not carry on. Therefore, they burrow into caves or little, and they hibernate through the winter. That's how the species procreates and continues. Then becomes a complete... Yeah, never mind. Yes.
And then forms into one giant snake for the
well,
summer?
Well, see, when they migrate in a straight line.
Oh,
I don't know if you know that.
Straight, always straight.
All the snakes
just go straight line.
One straight snake line, and it actually the snake line has weather properties because there's just so much snake. It's miles long of snakes.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't even matter what kind of snakes.
Well, they just
they're just a straight line. They
just go. Okay,
yeah, and it's almost like the Borg for a little while.
Oh, all right.
And they're just danger noodles, going in a straight line across the country. It's a dangerous thing, man. And it happens here in Colorado.
Oh, my my gosh, right. That's hilarious. Oh.
All right. So, yeah, I know you said that, Barbara. I know you said they hibernate. I just couldn't believe it. They were like, what happens in the winter? They all die. No, I'm screwing around, Philip.
I know there are people that wish they would die.
You know what? I hate snakes.
Really?
I'm not afraid of them. I hate them.
Okay.
Yeah, I had an experience.
Okay.
And I just actually kind of have a vendetta.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
It's a thing. It's almost as bad, but not quite as bad as me and ferrets. I think ferrets are snake rats.
Well,
they run around cups and circles and think they're impressive. I can do that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but I don't think you can bend like they can.
Oh, contraire, my friend.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just don't automatically just pass out after 5 minutes?
Well, yeah, I probably do that. But the fact they can do it longer than 5 minutes does not go in the plus column for ferrets. Just saying. Okay, anyway.
All right.
All right, so we're going to get on to we're going to get on to something else. All right. So, at the end of this segment, you know, we like to kind of tease who the poet of the month is. If you know who it is, don't blurt it out loud. Don't put it in the chat room. Send us a message you know, through our Facebook page, or just, you know, even through our email at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Tell us who you think it might be, and we'll let you know if you're right or not. So, last week, should I read the hints from last week too, you think?
Nah.
All right.
Nah.
So if you want
to go back to the
archive, you can go back to the podcast. That's damn right. It. If you want the other one.
But it's up there.
All right.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
All right, here we go. Here are the three hints for the World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month, January 2017. Number one, life transformed in Yeats' old home. Number two, Joyce named the nuptial day. And number three, not Howard, but a Hughes by another name. And there you go. That is the three hints. And if you know your poets, and you know this particular poet, you probably already know who I'm talking about. So send us a message on Facebook or on our email, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Let us know what you think it is. I will announce it next week. That will then give us another week at the end of the month,
yep,
where should we decide to cover the poet, we can kind of have a celebration then.
Yeah.
All right. Should we go to the second one, the second segment?
Yes.
All right. We need five more unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
What's up, y'all? This is One Bad Monkey, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic. Yow!
One Bad Monkey. Man. For those of you who have absolutely no idea who One Bad Monkey is, he was a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
He still is. Yeah. He just lives in Asheville now.
Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville.
Oh, I thought you said Ash. Sorry.
No, Asheville's right next to Nashville.
All right.
All right, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
No, so he lives in Nashville now, but he was a ex-Marine.
Yeah.
And a guy with a tremendous heart and
yes,
a very, very powerful personality. And so, you know, we miss him. Haven't seen him in a while. That was recorded back in 2012, I think, in our old studio,
yeah.
KZKO.
KZKO, yeah.
Back in the day, which is funny to say that just for about 4 years away, but it feels like forever ago, man.
Yeah.
And the years go fast, but the past seems long. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's maybe, I heard right around 40 or so, time starts to slow down a little bit. It's not that rapid iteration of it getting faster, faster,
okay,
faster. And maybe it's just my expecting that, but I'm noticing a slight shift, so it's not as fast.
Ah, okay.
Which is cool. However, I don't want to count on it. You know, you still want to move and go. Like
the
I
years
said,
have been dragging for the last 2 weeks.
just the last 2 weeks. But I did say something earlier when we were walking down. I don't want to wait another year to start this epicness.
That's right.
And you will know what we mean when we announce what we're talking about. But at this moment, we will not do so. So we have three poets. I don't have another submission. I don't know. I could pull up another one. I've been, you know, I've been looking at all kinds of other things for fodder material. I'm looking at snake facts. But strangely, I need to figure out what this actually means. But apparently, there's a website called Colorado Herping, Philip, and that might help give you some information about the snakes in Colorado.
Hmm.
What do you have?
Well, I'll have you read this poem at the end.
Oh, at the end. Okay, so we have something. Okay.
Yes.
But in the meantime, let's just get ready to head over to Connecticut to Barbara, a great friend of the show. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm chilling,
You're chilling?
That's good.
You mean chilling like you're actually freezing, or you mean chilling as in like...
No. I'm trying to get calm because everything around me is just so crazy. And so I'm just, trying to get calm. I had my rehab today, and and I walked around a lot. So
I understand. I mean, one of the things I've been going absolutely crazy with all of the things at school. As you know how busy a school can be. Of course, Barbara.
School can be crazy at this time of year.
Oh, and the amount of performances, and then academic decathlon, and all these things.
You got to get kids ready for everything. Yes, it's hard.
But I just keep remembering as I'm remembering to kind of stay focused amidst the storm of craziness is a line that I learned watching Sesame Street as a child, Bert and Ernie.
Okay.
You got to put down the ducky if you want to play the saxophone.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The thing is, your kids aren't young enough to be taking rubber duckies into class.
Oh, no. Actually, Barbara, I teach from 8th grade all the way down to preschool.
Then they could have rubber duckies. Yes.
They could have rubber duckies. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the truth. You know, I have a
Water
stuffed
plank.
Bee that really makes things happen. Yeah, that's a... I do. It's named Hickety Tickety Bumblebee.
Okay.
All right, exactly. There you go. Yeah.
All right. You could have little quacking times, where they squeak.
Yeah, and Barbara, it's those moments where you're sitting in the classroom and you realize you're saying something, to these kids, trying to keep them from talking, and you say, for the next 2 minutes, I do not want to hear a voice. I don't care... unless you are bleeding out of your eyes or dying. I do not want to hear your voice for the next 2 minutes.
I've done that. We've had contests so you could keep their mouth shut the longest.
And the best part is when it's a contest, they could do it. And that's
tragic. And there's always that one kid.
Yep.
Oh, I have a lot of them. Yeah. Anyway, Barbara. Yeah, I just remember... that phrase, and as crazy as things get, I try to remember that.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's a good phrase. And actually, hold on.
Okay.
I'm not George Carlin. I don't want to
swallow. Oh.
On here.
Okay.
Sorry, it was water. All those people who think, I'm drinking now.
We pretty much do think you're drinking.
It's okay, though.
Yeah, no, I don't drink.
That's good.
It's true. I don't drink. And I'm like this even without alcohol. So.
That's strange. Me too.
I think it has something to do with my brain chemistry. Oh,
no.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of brains and chemistry, the garden poem this week, The Garden of Poetry and Prose, which I write for every week, had two words, schizophrenia and luscious. And so my poem is called Preparing for Future Schizophrenia. And I apologize to anybody who might get offended by anything in it, so I'm just going to read it. There's no bad words in it, I'm just telling you. Okay. Preparing for future schizophrenia. The more it seems I try to shut out the news of the outside world. My mind refuses to accept this dearth, and I must examine in detail the new and vile stories I find each day, that if I were to think ahead, which I seldom do, to the rest of the year, might cause me to have schizophrenia. How can one truly believe, continue to believe the truth when it is so horrifying it makes me want to crawl in a corner and hold my hands over my ears, saying, stop, no more. You're ruining the rest of my life, which has a right to be peaceful and happy. I want to walk through luscious gardens in bloom in the spring with only the idea of whiling away a few minutes in the scent of the flowers. And I don't want to think about how maybe my brothers and sisters who are not my shade or come from a country from where they had to run to be saved might not have this privilege. And it makes me sad to know that somehow the fabric of my country will be broken. I wait patient as a child, hiding under the bed, hoping events won't force me to turn inward and create a new world if this one becomes tainted and full of poison. And I wait silent yet watchful over the freedoms we hold most sacred, the sword of truth hidden beneath my calm exterior. We have washed our flag in blood to be where we are today. And some are ignorant and uninformed, do not care, for they are self-involved, eager for the crumbs from our new baby-handed leader who has no compassion for the history of our land and whose greed extends its tendrils like dandelions in a freshly planted garden. And I can't protect all. Some will fall as his garden is harvested of the assorted mix of blooms that now grow here. Or maybe the strength of the force of their desire to remain planted safe in this ground will ignite a spark, and perhaps another gardener will be replacing this one after all. Meanwhile, I watch with my hands over my eyes, hoping I will not be seeing our liberties fall, as this preposterous hallucination we must surely have dreamed in a state of schizophrenia perhaps will disappear, and we will be left with a leader who understands how to garden in poem.
You know, I really like that one, Barbara. I liked the metaphor, and I liked the way that you played it.
Thank you. You know, I'm involved with gardens, so well, we have a garden of poetry, and it came to me. So,
sure.
But I have to say, this poem was very difficult to write.
What do you think made it difficult? Was it just didn't want to be born, or what do you think?
It came quickly, but while I was writing it, I was thinking, oh, my God, I'm writing this stuff. And then the part that really was almost made me cry was that middle part, you know, where I talked about the country that, you know, and how people feel. It just made me feel really bad after I wrote it and then I had to give it in. But, you know, I just feel bad that I had to write a poem like this. You know,
it's true. I definitely understand, you know, where you're coming from on it. I genuinely do. I had this interesting kind of experience. You know, there's this thing where we always have this sense, I think, as artists and as people, that, you know, there's ideals that we live up to and we want to live up to. And at least for me, growing up, I always kind of thought the people who were very well known for embodying an ideal must have been so much more intensely that, you know, than I was, and maybe didn't have the same flaws or whatever that I did. And I was talking to one of the nuns where I work, who's this great, awesome, awesome person, and she's the PE teacher, hilarious, and she's an older woman who's had a lot of different life experiences, but you'd never know. She kind of plays the Yoda card, where she's always kind of being a little bit silly or a little bit goofy to cover up how intelligent she really is. And she mentioned the other day that she had met Mother Teresa. And when she was when she was at her community of sisters where she lives, this is right next door to the Mayo Clinic. And so when Mother Teresa was flown out to go to the Mayo Clinic, she stayed at this huge, you know, community convent. And she was one of the people who was tasked with taking care of her while she was there. And she said Mother Teresa walked in and saw this place was full of marble, which she didn't realize was that the marble was cheap from the land. It was actually pulled from the land they owned anyway. But she, Mother Teresa yelled out, "This place is too rich," and started yelling about it as soon as she walked in. And a few days later, after she had seen the community and the way everybody had interacted, she apologized publicly for how she had thrown a huge temper tantrum. But apparently she was unbearable for about a day and a half. And then eventually calmed down. But, sister was telling me, she goes, she was a really rough lady. She's, you know, and it didn't even mean anything other than I'm like, oh, you know, that's a good reminder that we're human and we all have our upsides and our downsides. And sometimes the stories and all of that really brush over those other things. But we need to remember we all have the ability to kind of make that kind of change and to be that principled person, despite our faults and despite any, you know, things we might perceive as keep holding us back.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think a lot of people have trouble with the ideas of keeping the idea of keeping our country alive. They're more interested in money and power and they're not looking at the reality in front of them. So I think it's kind of sad in that way, you know.
Yeah, that is quite true. However, I think there's hope. And I think
there's hope, and that's why my poem ends in hope. And I always try to find a hopeful note. Because if you give up hope, what do you have left? You have nothing. Like, one of my daughters is very cynical and pessimistic and doesn't want to know and says, oh, we're going to have like 40 years or whatever. And I said, I've been alive a long, long time than you.
Yeah.
I went through Nixon. I went through Nixon.
Now, yes. Yes, you did.
I went through Nixon, and I have to tell you, the night that Nixon was nominated by the Republicans in I think it was like, I don't know, 74? When was it? His second term? I don't remember. The night that he was nominated, I felt like, you know, in the Yellow Submarine, when everything turns to black and white,
yeah,
the blue meanies come and they take all the color out of the world.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. And to put a punctuation mark on that, my dog died.
Mm.
That same night.
Yeah.
So,
which is just an emotional time anyway. Yeah.
It was a very emotional time. And I think, it was, we got through that. We got through that, and we got through a few other bad times.
Yeah.
And I think we'll get through this one, and hopefully we'll find an answer. That's all I can say. I don't want to get really political here, but.
Well, that's right. That's right. All right, Barbara, we're now, I just looked at the clock. This is my fault. We're at like almost 14 minutes, so we're going to.
Well, you only have three poets anyway, so.
Yeah, but
we have.
Oh, that's, I'm sure they don't mind that, but we should probably jump to Titus anyway. All right, Barbara, we'll talk to you during the return engagement, okay? Thank you.
Okay, guys.
All right.
Okay, bye, Michael.
Bye, take Barbara. Care. Thank you. And that was Barbara all the way from Connecticut. We always get into it.
You do.
And I know, I think it's almost always, it's always my fault. I just kind of like go off and do other things. Okay.
It's okay.
Let's head over to a great friend of the show and a poet I always enjoy hearing so much. Let's go to Titus in the UK on Skype. I believe.
Yes.
Yes. Hello, Titus. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Thank you for holding. I appreciate it.
No, it's been enjoyable. Very good.
It's been nice. So what time is it in the morning there?
It's 4:15.
Quarter past four. All right.
Yes.
JT, just every time you mention the time when you call in, he just winces and leans back like, oh, I can't believe
he's up. It's...
I get up around, but he's been up longer than I usually get up. I usually get up.
Well, come Sunday night, I'm wincing too, thinking about work the next morning. So I'm sure I was coming back a few hours.
Well, we're very thankful that you make the time to call us, and thank you so much.
Yeah, I try my best. Well, I don't know if you've ever gone through poetry that you'd like to read again on radio. There's this poem. It passes me by, and subconsciously I ignore it. And it's about, in all my 65 years, I'd never been starstruck by anybody. And then when the Lord of the Dance came on, this woman was dancing. I thought, wow. I was so obsessed with watching this time and time again, Lord of the Dance.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to read this poem. I keep ignoring the fact that it exists, but I'm going to do it. It's called Ode to the Temptress, and Gillian Norris was the one lady that was dancing the Temptress Morrigan in the Lord of the Dance. So this is what it is. It's Ode to the Temptress. And forgive me for some old English. Temptress, O denote where thoughtless eyes in trance would welcome ye, constraint thus having said. Your worship's ransom has been drawn from dance, for I'm more blinded since you've sensed evade, but will not be placed full heel the next. Temptation can full circle yearn though lest, with admiration pained I feel perplexed. Foolhardy have I come this far obsessed. My judgment may be fault whose sort ego likens it to eavesdrop, coloured red. It slowly filled my veins with dreams conveyed in reach of an applause by those I loathe. Preempt mainstream is as tentative a sure-footed woman can seduce such warmth. I'd spare your blushes from this hidden source contained with many passions love's enthrall. Were men and men almighty, men I swore, grew so minutely small as fractions rage, priority towards those wanton eyes, and really, had you noticed not my passing, our eyes were drawn towards each other's pains. Her flight of fancy shows it has a plight of many lovers. This much is true. O lovelier than thou, that eyes might draw with such a godly speed, emphatic state. Melpomene, so tragic minotaur, for once enchantment can no longer wait. Labyrinthine, the several depiction elegant so abound, the vespers weep. Timeless peace surrounding deep conviction, inferior to thine in long-lost sleep, though as to lay you spread for sweet bouquets would spread them even further, but for fluent moods would each adorn to her my praise with mouth agape, a moment's thought lament. If folklore can but doubt it, how ancient old I am, late 2 years for having tried, how brightest the hours that we could play untold to feeling high, the movements we could hide. What answers could attraction first be met? By waiting, please, my patience it entraps, would live for long in wonder, or perhaps dancing with fawn, intending to forget, to implement what pixies do it to feign, unto the calling hours choosing harps with a chin addition cleft, away from eyes the stark sorus away. There's more to thrill over, that my pause, my hairs stand on end, I my despair. A flute shall seek to provide a region's haste, deep down a morbid fear I may now scrap. The dreams I thought were yesterday to waste, as future's hunters wait, with love will trap. That's it, complete. Thank you.
Wow. You know, first of all, that's, you know, I think that's a very honest piece, and, you know, I think it's great. And it's kind of fun for me because I'm very familiar with Lord of the Dance as well, growing up with an Irish mother, as intense as mine is. But also, you know, because of, you know, growing up with that, and then that book I mentioned earlier, the Lord of the Dance autobiography. If you get a chance, Titus, if you haven't read it, please do. I mean, there's a moment in the book that I've talked about recently that I think is just so powerful, which is Michael Flatley, this is prior to Riverdance even, had
quite an interesting man.
Oh, he's a very interesting man, but he had gone bankrupt and moved to Los Angeles and was broke and just trying to figure out money. And he was married and become a stockbroker. And he, you know, had some suits and he was convincing himself he was doing really well. But he realized that he was being asked to kind of go into some ethical gray areas, selling some of these investments because they wouldn't make money. And so one day he's talking to this old woman and she says, well, you know, this is the last of my money that you're asking for. But if you tell me that it's the right thing to do, I'll do it. But I really need to, you know, make some return on the investment. And he knew she probably didn't have a chance of making it back, but he was supposed to sell it. On the other line, he gets a call from a producer in Dublin who wanted him to put together the Riverdance thing for the Eurovision Song Contest. And he said, I'll think about it. Exactly. So they said, it doesn't pay much, but we'll fly out at 6 weeks in Dublin. And, you know, so he goes, well, I'll think about it. Puts the phone down, goes back to the call. He's talking to the older lady, and he suddenly dropped back into this mundane life that he really is kind of compromising. He sees his boss listening and motioning to take the money, and he finally tells the woman, I'm sorry, we sold out of the last piece, and I don't think I can help you. And he hangs up the phone. His boss runs in, fires him, clears off his desk, says, get out of here. And he had to go home and explain to his wife while he was going to Dublin to try to do Riverdance.
Okay.
And I thought that was just an interesting moment of the way that the world tries to make us compromise and we can remember who we are at any moment.
Well, if you saw the Riverdance, it was the first time I saw it. I mean, it got a 5 to 10 minutes standing ovation. They'd never seen anything like it.
It was incredible.
And for me, I mean, I wrote that poem, The Ode to a Temptress, last year. Yeah. So if I tell you that about, what was it, 1999, I saw that one at the Point Theatre in Dublin. And that was, I mean, I must have had that crush for quite a few times.
Well, that's a long time. Well, hey, you know, I'm just saying, she I think, if I remember correctly, I think she actually left to go start a beauty salon.
Kilmac Thomas. Kilmac Thomas, she's a hairdresser, her salon there. See, so I'm well up on her. But I've got no skeletons in my cupboard, and I'm as honest as they come. And it was a pleasure now reading that. Yeah, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, Titus, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Sure. Bye.
Goodbye. And that was Titus all the way from the UK expressing his crush on the temptress from The Lord of the Dance. If you watch Lord of the Dance, you'll know exactly who he's talking about.
All right.
She's actually playing the role of the temptress. I mean, that's what I mean. All right. And let's finish in the most appropriate place. We're going very highbrow. With the hey,
sorry.
Philip, how you doing, sorry, man?
As soon as I heard highbrow, I was like, mm-hmm.
Well, the moment you start laughing, I can't keep it going, man.
Well, that means a lot to me. That means that my laughter is infectious and that perhaps you care just a little for me. So
oh,
I appreciate
course.
That.
Hey, absolutely. How you doing, sir? How's everything going?
Oh, you know, been rereading the Book of Job and finding the punchlines funnier each time I revisit the text. It just,
you're
know.
A locust.
Yeah, right?
Boils on the skin. That's hilarious.
Talk about making lemonade out of lemons, my friend.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh,
and he sees it through to the end. Actually, I jest, but that is actually one of my favorite books out of what some call the Old Testament, what I call the Tanakh. But,
yep,
you know,
yep,
each to their own. It's still a good piece of literature.
You know,
so,
Philip, it's
anyway,
one of mine as well. It's one of mine as well. I love that book.
Yeah, it's complex, and it always makes me scratch my head at times, you know, so it's quite overwhelming, but certainly worth the revisit. But, no, it's good to be back. Thank you for having me again, sir. And to you too, JT, quietly in the background. I know it's you that do all the work, sir. It's
damn
Michael.
Right it is. He's hitting all the buttons, Philip. No, I mean, this is Michael. He's literally over there running the whole damn thing, and I'm sitting here just being a jackass in the microphone.
I wouldn't have it any other way, though, right? You know?
He's better at that job than I am, I'm going to be honest.
Well, I am just happy that you two still do what you do, so marvelous. And I will get to it here. This is about the close as I can get to holiday stuff. One of the things that I do over the holidays, my own little, I don't know, whatever, foibles, so forth, quirks, is to revisit Thomas Pynchon, especially Mason and Dixon. I love the opening sentence, which I'm using as the front piece to this poem, whether it fits or doesn't. So the first sentence, a fragment from the opening sentence from this text reads, "Snowballs have flown their arcs, starred the sides of outbuildings, carried hats away into the brisk wind off of Delaware. The sleds are brought in and their runners carefully dried and greased." And the title of this piece is called Talking to Those Left Among the Dead. And here we go. One. By the time childhood is measured, it's moved on unobserved, passing by a stranger met in the jaundiced portraiture of mirrors. Innocence disappeared into routine hangovers and aches without remedy. Grown into the haggard and forlorn, the dull body draped in worn-out tropes of ratty overcoats yellowed with nicotine pockets. Distracted by horizons azure or overcast like oysters preemptively cast among swine. So distracted you've misplaced pronouns and forgotten this weary mortality laid coldly across an altar, confused for archetypes. Two. The things one outgrows, even the weeping and gnashing that once assuaged one's anomie and aloneness, traced back to a warm mantle of hearthside house fat, glowing in blushed humor, the color of seashell interiors, kept as gentle mementos, gnawed on slow as a story, whispered late into winter's early eve, lit dimly by voices aloft in drowsy oratory. Three. Decay and decades, talking ceaselessly into the darkness, alone with wordy myriads, descriptions about things once tangible, visitations at the windowsill where a voice once leapt or went adrift. And there it is, my friends.
I really enjoyed that.
I appreciate that, Michael. Wow. I truly enjoyed the pregnant pause. We're like, I don't know if I should clap, throw something at him, be freaked out, running away.
Get back on the line and go, get the hell off of the show. No, Philip, that was very, very good. Thank you so much. And we always a pleasure to have you.
Oh, well, thank you, sir, and it's mutual always, and you guys be well, and I look forward to the return engagement. And quickly, are we having a Studio X, sir?
You know, honestly, I didn't bring my guitar this evening because
okay,
I haven't had
a moment. Okay, but maybe next week?
Well, actually, that's the thing. I didn't have a moment to put anything together this week. I will have some time because of the weekend here. I wanted to ask you, when you said
yes,
hearing Man on the Moon, which Man on the Moon? Were you talking about the REM?
Oh, REM. REM's Man
All
on
right.
the Moon.
All right. So that'll be one that I work up for
okay,
next week.
Okay, who else has done Man on the Moon?
I don't know. I figured okay. I'd clarify before I went into it.
Well, I'm glad that you've joined me on the lunar surface, sir. It's nice to have friends.
Hey, man.
We can have a moon picnic.
That's it. My head has been in space, by the way, this entire time. And, you know, one thing, that phrase, and I'm sure you'll get this, that phrase, shoot for the moon, even if you're missed, you'll end up among the stars.
Uh-huh.
First of all, we're already among the damn stars. Second of all, you miss the moon. Technically, if you're still going on trajectory and you're able to actually break orbit and, you know, all that, you're screwed, man. You're screwed. It's a terrible idea.
Game over, man.
Game over. You are screwed. It's done.
See, there's no fooling you, kid, because you know too much about physics and interstellar space, you know. See, you're just too smart.
That's a problem. I know. I can't. You know, that's the problem. That's why I can't date anymore. I talk to these women, and they say things like that, and I go, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard."
No, right? And you get in trouble all the time, and it's amazing. Yeah. Once you start noticing cliches, you're like, "My God, is there everywhere?"
Like, yeah. Do you actually say anything that means anything ever?
Right. And realizing how hard it is to do that, but yeah, that's what makes it so interesting and fascinating. Otherwise, it would be too simple. That's
how I console myself. Well, it'll just be too simple otherwise.
Well, if you need any more consoling, sir, just call on me.
Sounds good, brother. Right. Thank you so much. All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. And that was Philip giving us a call from the old, old country of Kentucky.
The old country of Kentucky.
It's the old country. It's where Davy Crockett came from, isn't it? Wasn't he from? Yeah. No, Tennessee. I totally screwed that up.
Oh.
Well, you know, born on a mountaintop in Tennessee. I don't know. Tennessee, it ended like a Kentucky. I don't know. I was thinking about chicken.
Gotcha.
As usual.
Must be hungry.
I'm always thinking about chicken. That's the thing. Hey, JT.
Yes, sir.
You want to try something random?
We're going to try this.
Let's just do it. And let's just hope this works out. Here we go. Half a league onward. All in the Valley of Death rode the 600. Forward the Light Brigade, charge for the guns, he said. Into the Valley of Death rode the 600. Forward the Light Brigade, was there a man dismayed? Not though the soldier knew, Son One had blundered. There's not make reply, there's not to reason why. There's but to do and die. Into the Valley of Death rode the 600. Cannon to the right of them. Cannon to the left of them. Cannon in front of them. Volleyed and thundered. Storm at with shot and shell. Boldly they rode, and well. Into the jaws of death. Into the mouth of hell rode the 600. Flashed all their sabers bare. Flashed as they turned in air, sabering the gunners there, charging an army, while all the world wondered, plunged in the battery smoke, right through the line they broke, Cossack and Russian, reeled from the saber stroke, shattered and sundered. Then they rode back, but not the 600. Cannon to the right of them, cannon to the left of them, cannon behind them, volleyed and thundered, stormed at with shot and shell, while horse and hero fell. They that had fought so well came through the jaws of death, back from the mouth of hell. All that was left of them, left of the 600. When can their glory fade? Oh, the wild charge they made. All the world wondered. Honor the charge they made. Honor the Light Brigade, Noble 600. Well, that was random. That was kind of fun. All right. So, I think we should go to a return engagement. What do you think, sir?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do it. Why the hell not? That's what, actually, I enjoy. I got to be honest
with you.
No,
it's okay.
I enjoy the fact that we still take chances and do random things like that.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. Return engagement. Anybody who's called, anybody who wants to try to call in for the first time tonight, you are all welcome back. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
Man, the Talking Heads. Right after Charge the Light Brigade. That's how you know this is an eclectic show.
Well, yeah, I go and I play Smells Like Nirvana.
Right. Which, of course, was, it couldn't have been the actual Nirvana song. It had to be the Weird Al version, because I knew you well enough.
Right.
I don't even know if he owns Nirvana stuff.
I think I might have one or two.
See?
And that's it.
Yep.
Of their songs.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, thank you for your kind comments in the chat room. We just kind of randomly threw out the idea of doing that, and we might start doing more in the future. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, we have five of the best in lined up here, and I'm excited to hear from all of them. So let's just head straight over to Dennis in Michigan to kick us off. Dennis, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Is this the return engagement?
It is. We are here. We are returned.
You're in the right place.
You're in the right place. So what have you thought about the show tonight? There's been some really powerful work, hasn't there?
Oh, there's been a lot of voices and thoughts and ideas just floating around. It's just wonderful. The variety, the mix I'm hearing tonight, it's all good.
I agree with you 100%, 100%. So what do you have to share for us this time?
Well, with Monday being the day which we honor Martin Luther King, I'd like to read a poem about him. It's a cover poem. I do not know the author who wrote this, and if someone knows, please let me know so I can give that person the credit they deserve. The title of this poem is "His Dream Lives On." Today is the day we all sing to the honor of Martin Luther King. Wherever people fight to be free, his name is remembered with dignity. When Black people weren't treated right, he stood strong to lead the fight. He fought with love, not guns or darts. He changed people's minds and their hearts. Some people didn't like his words. He was taken away to a better world. Yet his dream lives on that all can be free. When we knock down the walls between you and me. Martin Luther King's life did not last, but his dreams, his spirit are free, free at last. End of poem.
Very, very nice. I think, I can't think of a better, you know, there's some people whose lives are not fitted with tribute in, you know, in certain mediums don't make sense. And I can't think of a better way to fit tribute to someone like Martin Luther King Jr. than with poetry. To me, that seems to be a venue that just makes so much sense, and a way to do it that makes so much sense. And that was a wonderful read and a great piece. Thank you.
It is a well-written poem. It's one of those poems you wish you say, I wish I wrote that.
Yeah. But you know.
But it's
it.
Good to share and get out there, and because it says a lot that we need to hear and be reminded of his, what he gave and his sacrifice for the peace of men on this earth, that we all can come together and live a peaceful life.
Absolutely.
And I respect that and respect him, and I think it's good that he has a day that we honor him.
Agreed. Agreed, sir. Thank
well,
you so
thank
much.
Thank you very much.
Of course. Thanks for calling in again. We're always so happy to have you here. It wouldn't feel like the show without you here, Dennis, so we appreciate it.
Well, you're a part of my life and a very happy part of my life, and I thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And I'll move on, pass the mic, and say God bless.
Wonderful. God bless, Dennis. Thank you so much. And that's Dennis kicking us off with the return engagement segment all the way from Michigan. or Michigan, depending on how you pronounce it. I hear there's accents.
There are accents around.
A place called Michigan, actually. There's fabulous places around here also called Wisconsin. For those of you who are fans of Love Actually. All right. let's go to, Kentucky's not really the mitten state. It's more like the...
I'm waiting.
Yeah, I was going to say it's more like the beer hat state, but I'm not... That's not really true either. Because Kentucky's had some damn fine people, Philip, including you. Some damn fine people came from Kentucky.
Well, thank you. I can't agree with you. I mean, if Hunter S. Thompson actually was born out of Louisville, Kentucky, then yeah, I'm happy to be one of them.
He might have been born out of Louisville, Kentucky, but he was shot out of a damn cannon in Aspen.
Yes, he was. Actually, yeah. You're absolutely, yeah, right, at his end. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. You know, I had a friend of mine who was a comedian. And I might have shared this before, so forgive me if I have, but he...
Oh, please tell me again.
All right, so... Have I done this before? Have I told you this before?
And it gets better every time.
Oh, damn it. Have I really?
No, I don't know, man. I'm just teasing you.
Oh, okay. No, I do that. I'm trying not to be that guy.
I'm just pulling your blank hair. I don't want to say which kind of hair, but it's not on your head, buddy.
I don't get enough there. I don't have enough for that. All right.
So you shave. Oh, go ahead.
You know, hey, tell shaving's a choice. Bald isn't. Okay. So he's... All right. So at any rate, a friend of mine, a stand-up comedian, he's standing there on stage and he says, "I'm a huge fan of Hunter S. Thompson." For many of you who might not know, he was cremated and shot out of a cannon at midnight in Aspen, Colorado. Mm-hmm. He says, "When I die, I want to do something very similar to him with just a few little differences. I want it to be in the city.
Okay.
I want it to be in the middle of the day.
Okay.
And I don't want to be cremated." He's like, if I can ruin somebody's lunch after I've died, it's all been worth it. So nope, anyway,
yeah.
Oh wow.
I you know, it sounds better the second time, sir.
You know, I actually, so I have a friend of mine who I've known for, you know, 15 years, 16 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. And her actual job is she's an executive assistant. So, you know, she's really kind of knows a lot of ins and outs of, you know, how things run. And so when she and I are even sitting there talking to, you know, we've met up and we're having lunch or something. And I end up running into somebody I'm doing, you know, a project with. As I'm talking, I'll mention, you know, we should do this. We should do this. And I can hear her next to me go, no, that's probably not legal. No, that's it's literally this little voice in the back of my head. And I swear, I probably should hire someone to do that for me on a regular basis. This was so much better the second time, sir. Ah, damn it.
No, actually, that was the first time you told me the story. And just so you know, carte blanche, if, you know, you, once you say illegal, I'm with you, sir. You had me at illegal.
All right. Wonderful. We're going to get along really well.
Let's go wreck something. Let's go break some stuff.
Let's go break some stuff.
That's right, man.
Take out my angst. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you guys are just in a marvelous mood, and that makes me just delight. I'm blushing over on this end, I'll have you know, and it's a pleasure to chuckle among people who know you. So, good. Cheers.
We appreciate it.
And I'm going to get out of the way so better poets than myself may rock the mic, as you say. So here we go. The title, not to confuse one's orisons with vicious cycles. And here we go. Absurd how insistently I'll note moments, little knick-knack instances for remembrances, insignificant bric-a-brac occasions, elders who grow into resemblances of their elders' garden gnomes, satirically stoic, bearded guards vigilant over ideals we've trespassed. Tidbits from an everyday humdrum human condition and glowworm hallucinations that will also be forgotten. Grains of pleasantries counted the same as a nation's petty violence, stained across stages of grim earth, more patient than your fears and feces, because its silence outlasts us. Nuances of an emotion lost, bodily decaying, fading where eyes flame in Elysium. Sophisticated talk about quantum realms while privately clutching ancestral bones. Midnight shepherds mumbling slurred prayers. Drunkenness that soothes our primitivism, quells our torturous consciousness, wandering off with its honed metaphors, labored deep in night ore, pickaxed by dual-sided questions, hacking away at the wilderness, blossomed around allegorical caves and precipices of the irrational. And there it is, my friends.
I like that one. There's a cool little twist of phrase in there. Very, very nice.
Well, thank you, sir. Got to watch out for them precipices of the irrational.
You know, hey.
or know how to fly.
I was going to say, the precipice of the irrational is basically the edge of my bed every morning when I step off onto the floor.
Woohoo!
I step up, I'm like, today I'm just going to mess stuff up. Woohoo!
I think we would be in good company together. For some reason, you make me feel like Calvin and Hobbes, or when I read Calvin and Hobbes, you know, just
I know this
that kind of invigorating curiosity about the world and life and so forth. So
it's fun, man. Philip, I got to tell you though, this is something. This really shocked me. Last week, and I'm not kidding. Last week, we actually had basically a felony committed on the show. Or a federal, not a, a federal crime. Anyway.
There you go.
A federal crime.
Oh,
not
really?
A felony. Yeah, we had a federal crime committed on the show, and it wasn't you. What the hell, man?
This is.
Should I ask? What?
No, I'll tell you in private maybe sometime.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. Please do. I mean, I can only think that this has something to do with language and its limitations.
Hey. There's very few of those, but there's a few that kind of become a big deal, and this happened.
Right.
So, and I was just surprised that you weren't involved.
Well,
and
know,
a little disappointed.
I'm
going to be honest.
I hear you. No, I hear you, man. But even if I don't have morals, I do try to prescribe to ethics, my friend.
Yes.
So,
good. Yes.
Huge difference between the two, but
yes.
I'm looking forward to this like little gem of a secret. I mean. Wow, I just hope it doesn't. It's not too depressing, is it?
No, it's not depressing. It's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to it, sir, and thank you so much for having me back on the show, man. It's good to see you guys, hear you guys, and you all have a marvelous evening. And I look forward to the next poet.
Hey, we appreciate you so much. Thank you so much, Philip.
Oh, you're welcome. Cheers, my friends.
Hey, cheers, buddy. Talk to you later. All right, and that was Philip, all the way from Kentucky, where they do wear nice hats.
In Kentucky, or?
Well, you know, I'm assuming they do. There's some very nice hats in Kentucky.
You know what? There's got to be. There's got to be good hats in.
And you got to say, no, actually, you know, when we start scheduling these road trips we're talking about, my friend.
Yes.
We're going to be spending some time in Kentucky. And there's probably going to be some damn good food there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this sarcastically.
Yeah. No, you're right.
But I do have a dream of being in an enamel bathtub. Full of Jell-O.
Okay.
In Kentucky.
Okay.
And don't ask me where that dream came from. It's a weird... It's like it was in the same one as the dwarf and the goat and the jar of peanut butter. So I...
All right. I'm not going to... That's a...
Yeah. All right. Hey.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's do what all men do when they have dreams like that. Let's go to Pennsylvania. and visit with Jim. Hey, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, and someone looking forward to me. Aw, that's sweet. And it's not just my girlfriend.
Yay.
Well, I'm not going to leave you out here. You're in the chat room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in the chat room.
Oh, she is? Who is it?
Yeah.
Technically not on the computer.
Okay, she's sitting in front of the computer. Danielle.
Oh, okay. Well, hello, Danielle. Yeah. Hello.
She says hi.
I heard her. That's great. So what are you going to share this time?
Well, as promised, Caligula's love child.
Woo!
What I could do.
All about this Roman decadence.
Well, it's a short one, but
that's what they said about this.
Yeah, it's almost as short as his reign.
It's a short one, but it's royal, baby. All right.
So, Caligula's love child. He is so very cruel. He duct tapes the acne patient's faces, then peels it off slowly. End of poem.
Very nice. Very, very
I
nice.
I got that from a Garbage Pail Kids sticker. I don't know how many years ago.
What the hell?
Back of it, like, you know, like the, we'll go into acne patients and peel it off, peel the tape off slowly. It was like, I did a video great. For that one, too. I took tape on my arm just to get the sound effect.
That's yeah. That's very, very nice. Jim, you know, I think that's great. You know, one thing. So I don't know if people really know this. I'm like a huge ancient history nerd and really, really big on it. And I actually spent time studying, you know, Marcus Crassus and, you know, all of the stuff there. But one of the things I always really thought was fascinating was when they had gone back and they found some old recipes from ancient Rome right around the time that Rome fell. And they realized that they very likely all had lead poisoning. Because the recipes had so much salt in it to be almost basically inedible. And they found out that one of the big symptoms of lead poisoning is the inability to taste salt. And they use lead pipes.
Wow.
Thought that was very fascinating. So basically, you have a whole city of people just going slowly insane, not to mention a ton of really, really inbred people running it. It's fascinating. All right. Anyway, Jim, that was fascinating. That was great. I appreciate you bringing up Caligula on our show. Now I feel like we're going full circle. All right. Hey, thanks so much. Are we going to talk to you next week?
Yeah.
All right. Looking forward to it, man.
All right.
All right, buddy. Have a great week. We'll talk to you then. That was Jim.
All right.
Thank you. Have a great night. That was Jim in Pennsylvania calling in for the return engagement. Mm-hmm. He's thrown down two good ones, but a Viggo Mortensen cover and one about Caligula. Those do go together.
Yeah?
Well, you know.
Okay.
I guess. I don't really know. I
think, I'll go with it.
You know, think so? I just, you know.
Seems a little odd.
Actually, I got to say, Viggo Mortensen, though, is a great actor and a great filmmaker and a great artist. And I actually really do enjoy his work. Mm-hmm. Do you ever see some of the movies he did with David Cronenberg, History of Violence or Eastern Promises? You ever see that one?
No, I haven't.
Those are some dark. History of Violence, I think you'd like.
Okay.
But it's a dark, interesting film. I think you'd love it, though.
Okay.
I get the impression you would.
All right.
All right. Anyways, let's not talk about violence. Let's go to let's go to Vancouver, where everything's cool all the time. Let's talk to Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. So it's been an interesting show, hasn't it?
Oh, I'm really enjoying it. It's a nice, relaxing night.
That's what we're going for here. Nice and relaxing evening. So what do you have for us this time?
So this is one of mine about winter in the mountains, and it's called Cadence of the Wind. Like a cadence of gratitude swirls, wind moves mist across the rocky blue landscape to rest in frosted evergreen. Above almond-tinted branches, winter sits still in the tips of Grouse Mountain. Snowy owls look out over nature, sensing the savory mood of the season. The meandering gift of time, seeing things as they are and blessing them with love. End poem.
Cynthia, you know, I've been saying this since you started calling in. Your words and your delivery, your voice are all just so lovely. And it's just a breath of fresh air every time you read on the show. Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much.
Now, I'm going to be bugging you. I'm just letting you know. I'll be bugging you through email in the next few days. I just want to kind of ask your opinion on something that we're trying and see kind of what your thoughts are, okay?
Yeah, that sounds great. Wonderful. I'm intrigued.
Okay. Sure. Well, I'll be sending you something soon, okay?
Okay. Take care. Right.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
And that's Cynthia in Vancouver. She just spent a while snowed in with a whole bunch of musicians, which... I'm sure that, you know, she's so positive. Cynthia is a very, very positive person.
She is.
And that's really joyful to, you know, really nice to be around. But I will say, I'm sure she put some positive spin on hanging out with a bunch of musicians, because I've been around them that much and we're not that fascinating. All right. let's head to Connecticut, where it counts, and talk to Barbara. Wouldn't that be a good tagline? Connecticut, where it counts.
Connecticut, where it counts?
Yeah, I think that would be a good tagline, don't you think?
I don't know. People in Connecticut.
People, what about Connecticut? What's wrong with that?
No, Connecticut's wonderful, but the people in Connecticut, I don't know.
You don't know about the people in Connecticut.
All right.
Fair enough.
No. So there. Let's just say a lot of things go on in Connecticut behind closed doors that nobody knows about. Like there were two scandals in Greenwich this week.
Huh.
One guy was arrested for, some kind of embezzlement. And he was on the town board. And then another guy on the town board, who's been on the town board for, like, years, an old guy, was just accused of sexual harassment.
Wow.
I think he pinched somebody in his office. And
I mean, who hasn't done that, Barbara? I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
So people in Connecticut are not, you know, like, they may seem all buttoned up and everything and very, you know, together. But there's a lot of stuff that's going on in Connecticut behind the scenes. But, all I can say.
But Barbara, you know, we were just talking about this a little bit ago when you were on the line before. You've been around. I've been around long enough. You've been around long enough. We all know that, let's just say, there's a lot of things that happen behind closed doors anywhere humans are. Doesn't mean
That's
it's okay.
True.
Doesn't mean it's okay, but it does mean that it happens everywhere.
It's in Connecticut.
Just in Connecticut.
It's Connecticut.
All right.
If you came to Connecticut and saw, you know, the kind of place that I live in, you would understand. Now, parts of Connecticut, they're like, some of them are like parts of Manhattan or the Bronx. There's Bridgeport and places like that that are like the stepsisters of Connecticut. But most of Connecticut is very different.
Okay.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's just like.
All right. So I'll change it, Barbara. I'll change it to Connecticut, and then I'll just say, get your crap together. How about that? All right. Anyway, Barbara, to not rest on the point.
Okay.
What do you have for us?
Diane asked me. I asked a question in the chat room, and what poem would you like me to read from my book? And my book is You'll Probably Forget Me, Living With and Without Hal, available on lulu.com. And the one she wanted me to read is called The Dance of Love.
Okay.
The Dance of Love. In the dark reaches of a hidden secret bench away from the chaos of city boulevards, under overgrown, summer-grown trees, a slow stroll ignited by passion, fueled by anticipation, and young loins lubricated by the lust held in check as steps moved us closer to the secluded spot. Love guided our actions as succulent floral aromas surrounded us in a blanket of peace. Our arms and legs entwined as more sensitive parts, magnetized with the enticing sensations from the contact of lips on lips, moved us ever onward, forcing clothes aside as our fingers and mouths explored each other, a sweet imperative. Bodies ignited by the fire of love. You slipped easily into my engorged, slippery space in the ink of night ecstasy on a wooden bench as we did the dance of love.
The dance of love. Sounds like a Julio Iglesias song. No. Barbara, that was very nice. Thank you. I have to tell you, I was kind of singing The Look of Love while you were reading that. Probably in a really, most likely in a very high-pitched and annoying voice, which is probably just because I just did not choose the right key when I was singing it at the very beginning.
Well, this is a true story, actually.
Well, that's great.
There were these little places that were like secluded by hedges and no one could see in, and you know.
Sorry, let me get out my popcorn.
We were young.
No, keep going. No. No, I'm just playing around, Barbara.
No, all these poems are in my book. So, you know, just it was that was my time when we were just before we got married that summer, and it was one of those, you know, magic summers.
Sure.
But anyway,
I get it. You know, I'm just thinking about, like, I don't know. I think I'll get to a point at some point in life where I feel like I can write poetry about those specific things. But I think if I do it now, people will be like, what the hell? Like, all right. But I'm a little nuts.
No,
so.
it's I didn't write it then.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I should write it now. I mean, that might be my ticket to the scandal box. What do you think?
The thing is, you can't really write until you have some perspective on what you're writing about. So,
so you're saying I have no perspective?
This is like 50 years after the fact.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, you're right.
I was like 20. You know, and that was.
Yeah.
That was young, and we were young, and in love, young and in love, and having no place to go. It was like no place we could go. So the world was, you know,
it?
For us.
Yeah, it. Yeah, exactly.
You went where you could, and
you know?
And so.
That's
when
what it is.
I was thinking about writing something, I don't remember exactly when I wrote this, but it was probably for either a prompt or something, and it just came out. So it's in the book. There's lots of things in the book. There's
lots of words,
memories from my childhood. There's there's poems about my wedding and my children, and there's poems about his sickness, and of course, the ones I wrote after he passed away, the very, like, the ones you've heard over and over again, those very sad ones that I read when I first got on here. And it's all in the book. There's like 70 poems in the book.
Oh, wonderful.
With photos and everything.
Oh, and wait, photos? Were that poem?
Photos.
There's photos,
yes.
For
there's
that
photos
poem?
Of me kissing. Yes.
Oh, no. I'm playing around,
young,
Barbara. I'm
young
totally
me.
Playing around.
If you want to see young me, it's in that book.
So this is also the segment we like to call Barbara Hard Sells Her Books on World Poetry Open Mic in the Return.
Well, if I can't sell my book to people who write poetry, who can I sell it to?
That's a question, you know. That's a question. I do think the Hare Krishnas have a really good method, though. I'm just playing around. All right, Barbara, thank you so
well,
much.
I'm getting off so that no. other people can.
Well, you're the last one, but you know.
Yeah, and I just want to say I hope you guys got out of that situation from last week, because
We're fine.
I was cringing.
We're fine.
Well, I was really worried. For
no,
you.
We. Oh no. It, Barbara. That's. It's nothing to worry about. We have, you know, speaking to a few people. We've got things covered. We're okay. We're ready to go. Whatever happens, we're all right.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, because it wasn't your fault, right?
No, we're on top of this, Barbara. We got this. Don't worry.
You got this.
We got this. Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. You're going to tell Philip, too, but I told him, but I don't know all of the ramifications at which you do, so, yeah.
Oh, it's you know, that's an easy Google search to figure that out.
Yeah. Okay, all so right. Talk to you guys next week, and
talk to you then.
It was a great show. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, that was, you know, that was Barbara from Connecticut. JT, you knew that, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I did.
Yes. She's been calling for a while. You know,
many moons, some would say.
Some would say.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
You know, I think that's really the, it's a good way to end.
You know, we did not bring up the topic of what today is. It's Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. Mostly because I...
You don't worry about it.
I don't really
it.
Care about it. But what do you think?
I'm good.
I had kids bring it up so much today.
Yeah.
And someone goes, you know, nothing bad has happened today yet. I'm like, yeah, but how many good things have happened today? And there they started talking about it, and they're like, wait, there's a lot of good things. And I go, do you think it could be that... people are expecting bad things to happen, and because they do that, they kind of go through their day, and then the moment something bad happens, they go, see? But the moment something good happens, they just kind of brush it off, and they don't really pay attention to it. I think that's what it is.
Well done, sir.
So, at any rate, that's just my kind of spouting. But how about this? Looking forward to next week. Once again, if you're listening, we're going to be there's going to be some more things forthcoming about our plans for the year. One of the things I do want to talk about, though, is that we're planning on putting together an anthology of poetry from veterans, servicemen, particularly in the United States. Although it's not necessarily, I mean, if it was, you know, we could put it from any veteran who'd written poetry about their experience serving, and we're trying to collect that, put it together, and send a. You know, portion of the proceeds to a charity like Wounded Warrior. We're just, the only reason I'm saying like is that we haven't nailed everything down 100% with them yet, so I don't want to say officially. But these are things that we're really, really working towards. And then there's the big secret thing that we want to kind of put some groundwork under before we really announce it. But we are working on it pretty seriously here. So in the meantime, next week I will be announcing who the Poet of the Month is for January 2017.
Yes.
I will be doing a Studio X performance.
Sweet.
All right. And we will go from there. However, I'm going to end a little bit differently.
Okay.
I'm going to end with, it's just a quote from a movie. And I'm sure it's not just from a movie, but I heard it in a movie first. I think this is a great ending. It's a toast. Never lie, steal, cheat, or drink. But if you must lie, lie in the arms of the one you love. If you must steal, steal away from bad company. If you must cheat, cheat death. And if you must drink, drink in the moments that take your breath away. From JT, from myself, have a wonderful night, and we'll see you next time.